There is a shmooze in the Chidushi Aleph on this week's parasha, which I think is extremely, extremely sadistic. It's like, I think, one of the most, very simple. It's not any great, profound thought. But it's very sadistic. Basically, the shmooze is on that we have that Yosef had a very, very difficult nisayin. Right? He had the difficult nisayin with Eshet Potifar, one of the hardest nisayinists. And he succeeded. So the shaila is, how do you do that? Which means basically a question, how does one, if a person has a very, 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 very strong taiva, which is day after day, week after week, how does one succeed in overcoming it? So there is a Rashi in, I forgot one of the sats, I'm sorry, which Rashira quoted, that it says that Yosef, that it says that Pinchas was, it's in the beginning of Pinchas, it says that he married, where is it? What's the Rashi? It says that Pinchas married Bas Potiel. I don't remember where that is. See, I didn't prepare. Just thought it was right here. So it says that the reason why it was, it says, I don't have the pasuk. So the reason why she called Bas Potiel is because he came from Yosef. Yosef was Pippi to Yisrael. Rashi says Zilzul be Yisrael. So the Rashid Alem Shat was a major Yisrael. Zilzul means he belittled it, he ridiculed it, like made fun of it. So he said basically Shat is like this, that the person, in order to overcome a very strong taiva, one of the important ingredients is you have to ridicule the Yisrael. You have to belittle it. You have to like make a joke out of it. You have to make it stupid, foolish. The marshal that I think I said this marshal already, the Alta Navarik says the same idea, is that when a person, he gave this marshal, a person's going on the street on Shabbos and he sees a few $100 bills lying on the street. $1,000 bill is a tremendous diver. See, thousands of dollars lying on the street on Shabbos. So he begins to think of all kinds of sorrows, why he should take it. He has a tremendous negiah to take it, tremendous taiva to take it. He might even, if he's not such a yerushalmi, he might actually pick it up and take it. But if the moment while he's thinking about it, if his son jumps out of the bushes and says, ha, we tricked you, monopoly money, so then he asks him, do you have any taiva to take anymore? Do you have any taiva to take it? He says, no. It's monopoly money. So the kunz is to mezalzel to Yisrael to hear and to feel that this taiva is monopoly money. It's fake. It's just, you see that delicious piece of cake? It's just shaving cream on top of a cardboard box. Or as Rav Shadran used to say, which, you know, I used to like quoting, chocolate covered soa. Right? It's just, it has a nice chocolate covered on the top, but it's disgusting. Yeah, I'm sorry. For those of you know, you get the translation. In other words, as I heard he used to say, in other words, it's a way you have to hear that it's not as good as it looks. The looks are deceiving. Right? You have this delicious piece of cake, but it's just shaving cream. You know, it's just, so it is. It's a cardboard box. It's not, it looks delicious. I mean, it is delicious. So the ability to focus in that this taiva is monopoly money. It's not going to deliver what it's promising. So the biggest karach of the Eitz Sahara is a karach of illusion. That's what we believe. That creates, Eitz Sahara creates illusions. It creates imagination. Imagination is one of the main powers of the Eitz Hara, and it creates an illusion. So the ability to see reality, and even sometimes even more than reality, you know, sometimes you can push yourself the other way, You can, is that you convince yourself that it's not as good as it seems. Now I wrote down here a few ways you do that. First of all, belittle the positive. Now, like we said, a piece of, you have to, something, an example, a delicious piece of cake. 9 out of 10, from your own experience, you know that when you eat it, it's very often, it's not as good as it tastes. And that's, in many things, it's not just a piece of cake. Many, many things, the excitement before, the expectation, does not live up to reality. It's usually that way. Something is not as good as you think it's going to be. It's almost guaranteed. So the knowledge that that's the way it is, and realization that I have this power of imagination that always imagines it better than it is. I did this already numerous times before. And I used to quote that example from Rav Zuckerman, and the guy who, he has the cake, he's sitting next to the cake and he's on a diet, and he takes the first piece and he eats it, and it's not as good as he thought, and then he still keeps on eating the rest of the pieces. Right? That's how we are. So we've had before, that'd be just exact Yetzer Hara. We had other necessities that we knew, no, it's not as enjoyable as it appeared. Things always look more enjoyable than they are in reality. The second thing is, even with enjoyment, this in the Sirius Asharim talks a great length that in the that enjoy, I think it's in Precious, that the enjoyments, almost all enjoyments of physical enjoyment, which are the strongest tie is, don't last. They are very, very short on time. He says eating, the taste of the eating is only as long as you're chewing. How long can you chew a piece of food? Okay, so you take another piece, okay? But so you have a steak. How long does it take to eat a steak? So 5 minutes, whatever it is. So you get 5 minutes of pleasure, that's it. When he says by his notes, or he says that the whole pleasure is 1 minute or even less, 1 second, when it comes out. There's not the pleasure is not a long standing physical pleasure. Then after that your body is satisfied, it's gone. There's no pleasure anymore. So the whole pleasure is very, very short lived. It's a person, when you think about it, it's almost silly. Now, a person spends so much money, time, and energy, and his ruchnius, to get a pleasure that lasts a minute. Right? It's silly.
Without being satisfied
with your pleasure. Okay. No questions. Satisfied is not a pleasure. Satisfied is something, but we'll get there. But it's not the pleasure. You're not being driven because, maybe you are, but a large part is you're driven because you want to, it's a different thing. You're saying because you want to get, okay. I think we'll get there too. But a large part of the drive is that you want to get that pleasure. So the realization that pleasure doesn't last. Okay. So that's the third thing. Maybe I don't know if it's a third thing. Is that you have to look at the positive, and there's always a negative. The negative is, first of all, by many, many physical pleasures, there's an obvious negative. That many often physical pleasures has a physical negative, which you can use for your advantage by highlighting the physical negative. Right? I gave this example. He said when a person goes somewhere and he sees a girl is not dressed neistically, approving, and go to public. So you can tell yourself that she probably has, who knows, she has AIDS, this, that. Now, I don't necessarily say that's necessarily true, but it could be true. But that telling yourself, it decreases the taiva. That she's a walking germ. that's what it is. So, keep me away from her. It's far, far away. It detracts the taiva. It's like food. It can be, certain foods are unhealthy. Certain other taivas can be very unhealthy. But that's already, I don't know if that'll be the ikar. The main thing is, first of all, we know Chazal say, that masbio marezo, which relates So what you were saying, is that it's not, you don't become satisfied, because you only become temporarily satisfied. Yeshiva used to call it drinking salty waters. Drinking salty waters is masbiya marevo, you're not really sad, you're making yourself, in the long run, you're going to be more suffer, so to speak. You're going to have more, you're causing yourself more pain, because you're going to be more hungry, and it's going to reach a point that you're not going to be able to satisfy it, because it keeps on going up. It's like a drug habit, right? Keeps on going up and up and up, and you need more and more, and at some point you can't satisfy it. So whatever type that you get into, it's masbiya marevo, and you need more. And at some point in time, you won't be able to get more, either because your Yirah Shamayim won't let you cross that line to get more, or it's just not physically attainable. Right? So you end up, maybe not immediately, you're right, in the immediate short term, you become satisfied. But in the long term, you go ahead and you're causing yourself a life of misery. You're causing yourself masbiya marevo, right? What's the point of a person does, we read some material or goes on a site that's not sneistic. Now, it says he enjoys it. But what it does is it puts thoughts in his head, and then that torments him because he can't satisfy those thoughts. So the pleasure is counterbalanced. If you think of the full picture, you have negatives. There are negatives. You're giving yourself new tithes that you're not going to be able to satisfy, and the tithes that you can't satisfy cause a person aggravation. It's masbiyo marevo, marevo masbiyo. The masbiyo marevo means the more you savat, the more you fill it, the more it desires more. It becomes hungry. So that's already two. Second thing is, this is something Rashiva used to always say. Rashiva used to always say that if you look in the world, the highest suicide rate is by movie stars. Can say, which is to say, I believe, and also the highest drug rate command is in Hollywood. Drugs. I know Rabbi Tversky. I said in a move recently to the high school. Rabbi Tversky said that people who take drugs is a simon mubik if they're not happy. No happy person would risk ruining his life by taking drugs, because everybody knows that drugs ruin your life. So if you value it in your life, you wouldn't risk it to take drugs. If life is meaningless, so what do you care? So you have nothing to lose, you might as well take drugs. So he said from his experience in drugs, that's what he does, it's a simon mubik. A guy comes in, he's a drug addict, he is depressed. So you think about, the biggest, the Hollywood stars are, a lot of them are drug addicts, and a lot of them are, even committing suicide. So that means that the riot is that all these pleasures don't bring happiness. And it makes sense. It doesn't bring happiness because most of these pleasures cause, even in the secular world, they cause a degradation of the person. The person feels disgusted. I'm a behemoth. And a person feels like a behemoth does not give him a pleasure. The greatest pleasure the person has is to feel good about himself. Right? Self-respect is one of the greatest pleasures that you can get. I feel good about myself. Feeling that I'm a behemoth is, on a certain level, we don't realize it, but that is one of the most torturous things. I'm a behemoth. I'm a worthless creature. I'm just saying, so even the goyim, they hear that when they get involved in too much in certain physical pleasures, they're degrading themselves. They're turning themselves into behemoths. They're losing their tzalma elokim. And that's depressing. No one wants to feel he's a behemoth. Even though I'm a behemoth with a lot of rich food, but that's still very depressing. The behemoth that eats steak is not very, and that's not what I want to be. You go ahead and you meet a person who is mentally, retarded. Some of the mentally retarded people are very, very happy. They walk around all day smiling and singing. But you don't want to be that. Right? No one is envious of such a thing. Because, a person wants to have, a person that has a tremendous desire to self-respect and to be something kosher. So when you get into tithes degrade the person. Okay. And the last thing is with something else Rashid is always saying is that's enough by the Goyim. But once you bring yeshiva, so it's really too late. He used to say this always with a big smile, that you guys, it's too late for you. You'll never enjoy tithes or lemaza. It's too late. You're ruined already. You know, so you better realize it, that that's not going to work. You won't be happy. In other words, if you get into tithes or lemaza and not ruchnius, you're not going to be happy, because we already brainwashed you too much. It's too late. You were ruined. Even we believe even the Goyim won't be happy, but even if the Goyim could be happy, but you guys will never be happy. So we always say it's too late, so you have to realize that this won't make you happy, because you've already been you've been exposed too much. You know too much. You have too much. You learn too much. You have too much guilty conscience. Right? Imagine a guy who learned in yeshiva and then he goes off and he becomes I'm not saying he's going to be a multi-millionaire, but he becomes a multi-millionaire who gets very involved in tithes or in hamaza and not involved at all in ruchnius. He's not going to be happy, because he knows in the back of his head that this ain't what he's supposed to be doing. It's knocked in. He heard too many mussar shmuzim. Right? So, therefore, again, so basically, what we're saying is that what a person has to do, and this is what Rashi claimed, this is what Yosef did, is that he belittled Zilzul B'Yitzro. He belittled the taiva. It's not the taiva. It's a joke. It's a stupid taiva. It's not, the pleasure is not as great as it seems. You're just fool. It's an illusion. It's that the taiva, the pleasure is not as great, and the after effects are much worse. So I gotta, there's no nisayon. It's like the monopoly money. It's not even, the food doesn't even taste good. Right? Struck a covered soy, and it gives me an upset stomach afterwards. Right? So I just have a taiva. I got dessert food. I should have taiva to eat it when I know, one, that doesn't even taste as good as it looks, and two, that it's gonna upset my stomach. Most people would not have such a taiva then. So that's the idea of zilzul, and that is I really believe, and that's the main trick. When you have a strong yetzer hara, you have to try and ridicule it. You have to say, this is stupidity. This is shtuyot. This is for babies, you know. This is little candies are for babies. This is not for me, you know. This is for, you think I'm a 3-year-old and that I'm going to be run after a lollipop. So you think that's what I'm going to be mushpa. You have to, you make a, even to make a, call it a name, so to speak. To go ahead and to ridicule it in your mind is a very, very healthy thing. It goes ahead and takes away the strength of the taiva. Okay, anyway, that's the first half. Then the second half is not exactly connected, except it's connected in the parsha. We find in the parasha that there's an amazing Rashi. Rashi says that there was Vayavol, there was a certain day that Yosef came, Vayavol by Salasos Malachto. Vahigayon Hazer, Vayavol by Salasos Malachto. So Rashi brings Rav Shmuel, so the Gemara, Hadam Malachto, Manish, Hadam Malachto, Sarkat Ima. And a shenir of the most yuta shavavet chulo, as it's recited. So there is a pshat that Yosef actually went ahead, it's amazing, he decided to mezane with her, except that the most yuta. So the question is, where is the great sitkus of Yosef? How is it possible that Yosef wanted to be mezane with her? He not just wanted to, he made up his mind, and he came in the house with the intention of mezane. So I heard from, I don't remember who said shot. He says, okay, I said this, I think, a number of times in the Musa Chabrusas, that the that if you pick up a baby, babies are very light. I think, you know, when you pick up a baby, it's nothing. But if you have a baby who is constantly crying, it's called a Kara baby, and you have to hold the baby for hours and hours on end, after a few hours, you feel like your hands are going to fall off. And if you keep on holding it for more than that, at some point, you're just going to drop it. You just can't. You just can't hold it so much. So even something which is really not so difficult, at a certain point, it wears a person down. We gave the Rabbi Naiman, the Rabbi Shmuel Naiman, it's a tape recorder that he used to say that when you're running a tape recorder, you're not supposed to use, if you want to pause the machine, don't push the pause button. Because he said that the pause button means the motor's going, and the pause, it's like pushing the gas and the brake at the same time. Because eventually the brake will wear off. You can't, the brake breaks, because the motor's pushing against it. You have to turn off the motor. But to push the motor, keep the tape recorder going, and push the pause button, what you're just doing is putting out a brake, and the motor is pushing against the brake. You know? So the idea is that Yosef had always gotten this. The first day, when he had the Nisayan, it could have been easy. Right? Yeah, I'm not going to miss out. Are you crazy? Miss out with you? It's ridiculous. It's monopoly money. It's too young. Right? But the second day, third day, fourth day, fifth day, sixth day, and it's day after day, and it's all day, 24 hours, you know, 24 hours, seven. So at some point, Yosef got to a breaking point that his brain broke on him. He just, I can't have so much self-control. I can have self-control for a day, for a week, but at some point, it's too hard. So what do you do then? And obviously, if it works then, it can even work before too. So he adds, Musti Yitno Shalavit. What's the chaf of the Musti Yitno Shalavit? So the way someone says pshat, and I think it's in the Sefer, Cheshbon Nefesh says this too, is there's a line called, you fight fire with fire. Meaning, Yosef's intellect is gone. His brain, you know, ran out. It's dead, so to speak, in some sense. His brain is, his power of self-control is used up. But, and therefore the taiva, which is emotions, got him. He got this emotional pull to do the aveira. He was fighting it with his intellect, and at some point the intellect got tired. The intellect couldn't stop. It's like holding the baby. So the intellect is holding this, restraining himself from the taiva pushing against it. So the intellect is a brake, and the taiva is a motor, and the motor doesn't stop. The taiva doesn't stop, so eventually the brake gives. So you create a counter emotional force. Emotional forces don't stop. They come by themselves. To move to Yitno Shalavit is an emotional force. It's not a rational force. That's why it's Shalavit. It's my father. That's already going into his emotions. So he created, he fighted the title as an emotion. At some point, until this point, he fought the title with his intellect. At some point, his intellect wore out, so he switched. And it was a godliness of Yosef that he was able, most people don't see Tzitzis and Shalavit. That's why it was Tzitzis of Yosef. Yosef, realizing that he can't hold on anymore intellectually, he pushed a button to bring out the Tzitzis and Shalavit so he could fight it emotionally. What is the in other words, he brought the, that was what's the big Tzitzis of Yosef? Why is he Yosef on Tzadik? So someone says, and he said, it's Yosef made himself see the Musti Yitno Shalavit. Which means as follows, that another strong way of fighting taivas is by having a counter taiva. Person, it's not just logically that I want to be a tzaddik. Person's supposed to have a taiva for it. I have a taiva to be a tzaddik. I have a taiva not to do aveiras. I have a taiva for ruchnias. So you're coming with a taiva to do an aveira, but I got a counter taiva. Right? It's two taivas fighting with each other. It's not just that you have a taiva, you're offering me a taiva, and intellectually tells me I shouldn't do it. No, there's a different taiva that's telling me not to do it. Right? I know that if I take this taiva, I lose that taiva. So, and the two taivas, so then, even from taivas, I give up, right? You offer me a taiva. It's still deeper. But I know if I take that taiva, I'm going to lose a different taiva. I have a taiva. This is what I dreamed at since I was a little boy. I always dreamed of being one of the shiftei kah, you know, so to speak. This is my family, my father, the whole family. I want to be part of the family. It's an emotional thing. I'm going to gain this emotion and lose that emotion. It's not worth it. It's not worth it, not just because intellectually tells me it's not worth it. My taivas tell me it's not worth it. It's like a Vedanta dimension. So what that means is that there's another thing, that besides Mizalzel, the Yitro, that's an intellectual thing. It's an intellectual thing, you gotta be Mizalzel to realize, this taiva is garnish, it's silly, it's stupidity, you gotta be these idiots. When I was in Israel, I used to get, my father used to give me once a week, he used to give me a stack of the Jewish press, Jerusalem Post. And I used to read, they had a comic section. It wasn't officially a comic section, it was called the food section. The food section, about how these guys used to go to a restaurant, they used to talk about, it was comical. You know, and they ordered this, and it was slightly, you know, and he thinks, well, it was almost, but it wasn't perfect, and I ordered a bottle of wine, it cost $300, but it was slightly off, it's almost, when you read it, the way that people are so much into their time, it's almost funny. So there's one thing is to make the zazel the Yitzro. These are silly people, they're about to hate this, whatever. There's another thing, is you create an emotional type of the other way. I know this is one of the reasons someone once asked the Rosh Yeshiva, you know, that there's more than one answer to this question, but someone asked him, you know, the Yeshiva's program officially 14 years. So now, this guy was a very, you know, smart fellow, and he says, I look around, and after being in the yeshiva for 7 years, I'd say, I think that I'm just as good at learning as some of those other guys in the yeshiva for 14 years. It's just possible. The guy's, you know, he has a very bright, it is possible. And there, you know, so why do I have to stay 14 years for it? I'm just as good as him in learning. I can argue with him in learning. So the yeshiva used to answer, yeah, you have it intellectually, but you don't have the emotional. There's another dimension. It's not all about intellect. It's not all about your intellectual power. You have a good IQ. You know how to rip apart a Marsha and Rashi. How do you overcome an Nisayon in life is partially because you have an emotional taiva. This is my life. This is who I am. This is where I belong. I have an emotional affiliation with this. And he said, that takes time. Right? To share the shmuz, and why is it that Sheva Levi, of all the shvatim, I think I said this once recently, that all the shvatim were nifshal on the cheta ego, and only Sheva Levi was a nifshal. So I think it's the last game, I don't remember, said, because Sheva Levi was relative to Moshe. So they felt more, there's an emotional connection. Now everyone, so they weren't ready to accept that Moshe died. Everyone else was ready to accept it. But they had an emotion. It's not just the intellect. Intellectually, there's no difference between them and everyone else. But they were more emotionally invested in Moshe. So there's a, she was saying that in order to overcome any Nisayon, you get yourself emotionally invested in this religion. This is my happiness. This is my life. This is who I am. It's not just my job. It's not just something I do. This is who I am. The example, there's a sefer Yisoidei Hadas gives us in Marshall. He says, a person will go ahead and perform a miracle. And then he'll tell you, I'll prove to you that I'm a shliach from God. Now I want you to go ahead and do this and this. So a lot of people will listen to him. You know, God sent me, messenger, and he told me to tell you to eat pig. You know, eat chazer. A lot of people will do, even from people. Oh, you know, it's cast a bean, isn't it? A miracle. Must be. But he says, okay, I did a miracle. God tell me you should chop off your right arm. Very few people will listen to him. You did a miracle. Okay, I'll figure out an answer. I'll come up with a sort of explanation for the miracle. But I'm not living to chop off my right arm. Right? Which means that because something which is, if I view eating chazer as chopping off my right arm, I'm not going to listen to him. So when this guy, he really has a miracle. He goes ahead and he creates an amazing miracle. Wow. But he's telling you to do an Aveira. I'm not ready to do it because that's me. That's my right arm. That's part of I have to give up my religion. Yeah, my religion means to me. I love it. I have an emotional connection to it. This is what gives me my happiness. It's not just something that it's beyond just an intellectual belief. It's an emotional connection, and it's mamish like my right arm. Right, we have it in the Torah. What he says, he say it that. So we have in the Torah that there's a parsha that Hashem says that there's going to be a Navi Sheker. A Navi Sheker comes to you. So he goes ahead and he makes almost a miracle. So it says you're not supposed to listen to him. Why? Ki minatz Hashem eskem ladas ayeshem olavim as Hashem elokeichem. So he said, "What mean Yeshem Olavim? Maybe it's because of Yerushalayim." He says, "To fight against this, you need Ava. You need this extra dimension. If you just have Yerushalayim, Ava, he made a miracle. But this is a different dimension. That is, he's telling me to chop off my right arm. So that's why Yeshem Olavim. I heard it just as Aga. This is after I had a Rebbe, a very Choshev Gadol, Zolder Epstein." So I heard him say that, you know, he said it in his shir, that he has a Messiah from his rebellion. I don't remember where it comes from. I think maybe he said it comes from the Gra. I don't remember. It comes back from the Dor Acher Dor. He said that they said that this parsha, the Torah and the A, that a Navi will come, as far as we don't really, it seems that we don't have historically that happened. We have a parsha in the Torah that the Navi comes and he creates miracles, and the real miracles, not fake miracles. And we say that Hashem Minas Hashem Eskem Ladas and Yeshem Olavim. So Akasha, why the Torah write a parsha? It never happened. So he said the story is that thou happened before the Mashiach, or the equivalency, that there'll be command like miracles that will be pushing people to become non-religious. Says before the Mashiach, this is that this parsha will be Mekuyim. That people will have such, there'll be such a hard Nisayan, I don't know, for everyone, some people, that will be mamish as if, or the equivalent, or mamish, that there'll be like miracles proving that religion, that it's not, that you should do, the religion's not right. And that's going to be the test, Hayeshem Olavim. But anyway, bringing back to our point, so one of the ways of fighting the Yetzirah, that's fighting fire with fire. And that's really a large part of, and I'm running late, but that's a large part of the idea of where we work on the Seira, and we work on having a kesher to the, you know, a kesher to the yeshiva and to the rebbeim. I used to always say, Rabbi Moshe Chaik used to say this line, that, you know, that not a day goes by that doesn't think about Rabbi David. That line, that's what gave him, it's not just because he thought about all the time that therefore he did things. It's because it showed that he loved him so much, that's why he could never veer off. All the nishayness in the world would not push him to go away because Rav David was so much part of him. If a person says not a day goes by, they didn't think about his Rebbe, that means it's not just intellectual. He has an emotional connection to his Rebbe. If he has such an emotional connection, how can he ever go off on that Messiah? He can't. So that's what keeps him in tune. That's what's why Messiah and having a feeling a kesher to the Messiah and feeling a kesher to the Yerabeyim and to the Yeshiva. And you, person is supposed to, you know, when we mention this, you're supposed to love your Yeshiva. You know, supposed to feel, you're supposed to be proud of your Yeshiva. Because that makes, it's not just a place that you learn intellectually. You gotta make an emotional connection with it. Because that emotional connection, it helps you. So just to summarize, so there are two different, Yosef succeeded in conquering his Yetzirah two ways, it seems. In the beginning, he refused to go that was Zilzul B'Yisrael. He went ahead and he said to Tzeko, as Rav Shadran, Chofit Shekhar and Salah. It's more, as the other say, as the Napoli money. It's garnish. It's stupidity. You got to be a shaita to go after this taiva. It's silly. At a certain point, that it can, you know, that continuously, day after day after day, even a small taiva gets overbearing. So, and especially it wasn't, you know, it was. So therefore, he had a switch. And the goddess of Yai, that he switched to a different system, that he fought in some emotional of fighting fire with fire, right? That's by getting feeling that this is his connection of Dairus, this is his Musti Yitnosha of it. So he had an emotional desire not to do it. Okay.